Indeed it does. And we thank you so much for being here with us. Jason, Herbert, Walker, Ross, I am Damian Barling. So, Jason, do you think that Paul George is playing with someone better than him?
No.
No, okay.
How about all right. that? Change hey, it up
change
on
it,
you.
Change it, change.
And made you listen.
Change. Yes, you fooled us. There was trickery there at the end of the last hour. We're going to get into the NFL. We got one small thought on every single team in the NFC coming up here in just a heartbeat. Levi Damian of Silver and Black Pride is going to join us at 1:30. We'll talk about the Derek Carr injury, what that means for EJ Manuel, what that means for the Oakland Raiders. Derek Carr obviously out 2 to 6 weeks. Marcus Mariota, no official diagnosis on his hamstring injury. I guess the good news is they haven't come out and said it was torn. I know that there was a fear that his hamstring was torn. That hasn't stopped Tennessee apparently from bringing in the phenom known as Brandon Weeden. The Sacramento Kings beat the Spurs last night in preseason action at the Golden 1 Center, 106-101. A lot of fun to watch. We'll talk more about that at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Some changes to the All-Star game. So a lot to get to. We were just looking at Zach Lowe's league pass ratings, just teams that are going to be fun to watch. We were talking about the Thunder. Is Russell Westbrook – this is I was trying to find sneaky ways of asking this question to you because you mentioned that Melo has never played with someone who is better than him. Paul George has never played with someone better than him. Is Russell Westbrook – and I guess in Carmelo's case, where he's at in his career, we're not talking about him. Is Russell Westbrook the best player on the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, and he may not be every night, but I think that's what they think. That's what he thinks. He's paid like it. He's been an MVP. Paul George has been close a couple years ago before his leg injury. I think we were talking about him maybe being the third or fourth best player in the league, so he's been up there.
Yeah.
Carmelo's been one of the great players. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame guy. But as it's constructed, as the way – and he'll have the ball in his hands more, yeah, he is their best player to me.
Okay. A couple other – I mean, we mentioned in terms of teams to really watch, no shocker that Golden State was one. But a lot of the – that was number one. They were number one. Oklahoma City was two. A couple of things I was surprised by, just curious to get your thoughts on them. The Celtics 3 in terms of teams to watch, Rockets at 4, Philadelphia at 5. I know Marty from Philly's listening. Mm-hmm. He's thrilled to hear that. Everybody's going to jump on the Philly bandwagon. If you were making a league pass ratings of games that you could watch when the Sacramento Kings weren't playing, would Philadelphia be high on your list?
I am intrigued definitely early. But to me, I think it goes, for now, as Embiid goes. If he's playing, yes. If he's not, I'm not sure what Fultz and Simmons look like yet, but Embiid makes me want to watch.
Apparently, Embiid is going for like 3 a.m. runs down the streets of Philadelphia.
Are kids following him? They're running up the steps.
I think Lyfts are following him, or Ubers or something. Yeah, Marty sent me a video on Twitter of that. Number 6, and he really defended this, was your boys in New Orleans, the Pelicans.
They need to defend that one then.
Oh, hell yes. DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis, twin towering against the NBA grain with Cousins, heading into free agency and basically every job in the organization on the line. Tossing Rondo and Tony Allen, and the Pelicans are wired with the league's most combustible set of personalities.
Yes, but does that make it must watch? I mean, I think I'm still thinking of entertainment and good teams. I think that's could be scary some nights in a negative way, but I don't know that that's a must watch to me.
Cleveland was at number 7, Portland 8. Bucks were at 9. Giannis Antetokounmpo there. And then you had Minnesota coming in. Denver,
I was wondering where they were.
Denver at 11.
Okay.
The Clippers at 12. The San Antonio Spurs at 13. Miami 14. And I'm offended, Washington Wizards at number 15.
Okay.
I have to add league pass back just for the Wizards now.
Yeah. You know, it was funny last night watching the Spurs without their guns, right? I mean, there was no Kawhi, Tony Parker, Rudy Gay didn't play either. But then
I did watch him on the court.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, I
watched
him on the
see.
Court.
And he's cleared. He's been practicing and scrimmaging. But obviously, this is the most obvious statement. Pop's amazing. And when you look at what that roster really is. I mean, we're just talking about Paul George, Russell Westbrook, and Carmelo Anthony. I mean, when you how many All-Stars are in the Spurs? They've had past All-Stars. Aldridge has been one. Pau Gasol's been one. Parker's been one. I think they've got one. And people think they might be the second or third best team. I mean, just he gets – and then you see, like, okay, he's going to get the most out of Bryn Forbes. He's going to get the most out of, you know, these other guys that you just go, they're just guys. You know, I don't know, not really blown away by the roster, but amazing, amazing what they do. They find their style of person. Davis Bertans, they'll get the most out of him. Okay? He'll do it. He'll figure out a way.
And when that time comes, who's going to be surprised?
Right. We'll go, wow, I didn't see that guy was – where do they find him? Where do they find this – they maximize it.
Look, don't try to go sign him.
Yeah.
Don't try to steal him away.
Yeah, they won't be the same thing.
It's not going to work.
Right.
It's not going to work the way it's going to work in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Monty Williams was there last night.
Yeah, you were the one that pointed that to me. That's really cool.
I wanted to
– hug him?
He was – kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tell him you're – I'm sure he's tired of stuff like that. I mean, you –
but he's an amazing guy.
You
got to
let the guy move on with his life. But we saw him and was like, I just really just want to go, you're the man, dude.
Yeah.
Seriously. You are an incredible individual. But yeah, I ran into a lot of the normal people I see when a lot of scouts were out there doing, you know, all their due diligence. So basketball season is back.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it doesn't count, well, it counts here because they are 1-0 and you can't go 89-0, counting the preseason, of course. Until you go 1-0. Let's get into our one small thought here, Jay Ross. One small thought on the NFC. Why don't you lead us off?
Okay, I have the NFC South, so I'm going to start with the Atlanta Falcons. My one small thought for them is I think the bye week is actually coming at the right time. Yes, they're 3-1. They should be pleased about that through their first four games. We know how difficult it is to come back after making an appearance in the Super Bowl and a really brutal loss there, but 3-1 has shown us some good things and some other things to be on a little bit of alert because we know the record could be different. Close calls with the Bears, close call with the Lions. But I think the bye week comes at the right time, the main reason being getting guys healthy with Julio and getting guys back on the right track. Just kind of the nice break, four games in, and take that next four-game chunk and see if they can also go 3-1. My one small thought on the Carolina Panthers, they need to carry this momentum from the big win in New England. That was a really good win. I know the Patriots are down at the time, but that's a solid win on the road. Cam is getting better each week. I don't think he's all the way there, certainly not to his MVP level. But this 3-1 start, they don't want to go backwards now. Cam needs to continue to improve. They need to continue to improve, and they should carry that momentum from the big win against the Patriots.
Yeah, the Patriots – their defense is bad, but going into the game, would you have picked them to lose?
No.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about the Patriots being down, we're talking like we're grading on such a curve when we say things like that. And it's still, you know, we mentioned the three stunning teams. I can't believe Carolina's 3-1.
Yeah.
Even when you watch them regularly, it's like, wait, I had to go back. Wait, how are they 3-1? Well, they beat the 49ers. They won another game like 9-3 something like that. And it's like, oh, they're ugly, and they're not on highlights, and they're very rarely on the red zone channel because they weren't scoring a lot of points. So it was, okay, they're just winning.
Yeah.
They're just winning games.
Yeah. My next small thought on the New Orleans Saints, and I label this one good recovery. And what a difference 2 weeks can make, right? Because 2 weeks ago, 0-2, it's like, yeah, maybe – is this it for Drew Brees and Sean Payton? Adrian Peterson's not working. Now, that's still playing to truth there. Adrian Peterson's doing nothing for them. But two more games, two wins all of a sudden. And now you're four games in. You're 500. They've dug themselves out. So really a good recovery for them. I think the next couple of weeks will dictate whether it's just going to be kind of that 500 type of team or a team that could do a little bit more because the division is really, really good. And the last small thought on the division comes from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this really is a question I have for them in their Thursday night game. Are they catching the Patriots at a good time? Because we really can answer that either way. One would say, yeah, the defense is a mess. They're 2-2. They've lost two games at home, could have lost another one. This is the perfect time to play them. It also could be the absolute worst time to play them because if we think they're good,
mad.
And I still think they're good, they're great, they're well-coached, they've got an incredible quarterback, short week, I think it probably still is a better time to catch him, but be careful with this one, Tampa Bay. You're at home. It's Thursday night. I know you're going to have a lot of people watching you, but be careful with the Patriots this week.
I'm going to go to the NFC North here. One small thought on the Green Bay Packers, who played last Thursday, seems like an eternity ago, called the Saints, and I wanted to go in this direction because you went with the NFC North. You mentioned the Saints. You mentioned Adrian Peterson. If I'm the Packers, call the Saints before the Vikings do about that very player that you mentioned. Ty Montgomery's out. Your Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers, but you're
– Didn't he meet with them too? Wasn't that one of his spots before? Did he talk to the Packers? Or maybe
I
speculated.
Pitched him.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was.
I wanted him to go to the Packers, or at least I thought the Packers should at least try to get him. I don't know that he met with
Giants,
them, or though.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't remember if he met with them or not. Packers run is ranked 28th. Again, you have Aaron Rodgers. Don't put him in a position where he has to do everything by himself for the next 12 weeks. Call the Saints before the Vikings do. I'll segue into my one small thought on the Vikings. Call the Saints before the Packers do, because now you're without Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
And he was an absolute bright spot for the Minnesota Vikings. We don't know who the starting quarterback is on a week-to-week basis. We're getting – okay, Sam Bradford is now just Andrew Luck. Oh, he might play. He might practice. Wait, nope, he's not. Okay, wait a minute. Is Teddy Bridgewater coming back? Is he going to – okay, we know he's – is he going to play? Has Teddy Bridgewater been practicing? What has Teddy Bridgewater been doing? Are you going to throw him out there? Do you need to go sign a quarterback? I don't know what AD has left. You've done pretty well with Dalvin Cook. Your offensive line has been done pretty well for you. Much like my advice to the Packers, call the Saints. That's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
The Detroit Lions, don't mind us. Look over there. You could talk about the Vikings and the Packers. Talk about Aaron Rodgers. Talk about Dalvin Cook being out. Talk about the great defense the Vikings have. Talk about Mitchell Trubisky. Just let us be. Don't mind us. We're just winning games. Doesn't matter that we're not in top 10 plays. Doesn't matter that we're not in the not top 10 plays, because we don't make mistakes. We had one memorable loss. That was because of the structure of the rule book. But we're good. Please continue to pay us. No mind. It's my one small thought on the Detroit Lions. And as far as the Chicago Bears, I had to do some work on this, Jason. My one small thought for the Chicago Bears, as Mitchell Trubisky will make his NFL debut on Monday Night Football, by the way, let him move. Let Trubisky move. Everything that I've read about him, everything that I've seen about him, everything that film nerds like Andy Benoit and Peter King have said, everything that guys like Lewis Reddick have said about Mitchell Trubisky is he is a better quarterback when he can move around and get out of the pocket. You have Jordan Howard back there. They're going to have to respect your run game. He's actually been pretty good this year, with the exception of one notable dropped pass against the Atlanta Falcons on the goal line. He's been really good. His running game has been really good. They're going to have to respect that. Allow the John Fox and his offensive coordinator and his coordinators, it's up to them to make them continue to respect the run. But if you let Mitchell Trubisky move and let him get around and let his receivers create space, it could work out okay for you. It's a tough stage to start on with Monday Night Football, but it could work out okay. Don't make him just sit back there and be in the pocket like Mike Glennon was.
On your AP to either the Packers or the Vikings, for him, what's better? It's a better
fit. Packers.
Better team?
Oh, absolutely.
But going back to Minnesota would be nice to go back there or no? Oh. Or is that... He's done with that.
No, like, I mean, I think he would still be in Minnesota. His contract with St. Louis, if I remember, is like $3 million, $3.5 million, somewhere around there. Yeah, with the Saints, sorry. If his contract heading into the year was $3.5 million with the Vikings instead of like $18 million, he never would have left Minnesota.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's important to him. I don't know if he wants the Dwayne Wade moment where Dwayne Wade has already said somehow, some way, I'm going to get back to Miami and I'll retire. And even if I do it Paul Pierce style, I'm going to retire in that jersey. Adrian Peterson can do the same thing if it's that important to him. But if you want to win, it's Green Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, again, with Minnesota, with Green Bay, you have an opportunity to be better because you're going to be the running back there with Ty Montgomery gone. Aaron Rodgers is there, so you're going to be just fine. And in Minnesota, it's, okay,
yeah.
Who's my quarterback?
Right.
Is Bridgewater coming back or no? And who's my quarterback next year? Because I'm not retiring. I'm looking for, you know, I won't stick around. If things go well here, I want to stay. So who's my quarterback moving forward? In Green Bay, you know who your quarterback is. I think his best fit is Minnesota. And trades don't happen very often mm-mm. in the NFL. We're a quarter way through the year. I just like saying that. We're a quarter way through the year. He's not happy in New Orleans. That's very clear. It's not working. You're not getting much from it. He's not the reason that you won the last two games. See what kind of draft pick you can get from the Packers for sending him to Green Bay.
Yeah, I don't know why he picked there because they're obviously not using – I think he can play. I really think he can still play and provide something, but it's just not in that system. So, strange move there. All right.
It also makes me wonder, what were his options?
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we'd be – oh, he'd be a great fit in A, B, C, D, E, F. Well, if only A and B called and B offered less money – suddenly, the decision is a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I would love to know the inner workings of his free agency.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let me give you the one small thought on the NFC West. Go with the Arizona Cardinals. For them, I say pick a direction. And by that, I mean this team has won, then they lost. They lost, they won. That's been their back and forth so far. This has all the marks of an 8-8 type team. I think the old guys are keeping them competitive, but they're not talented enough. Injuries have hurt them. I almost feel like they either need to go all in and see if they can win more games or maybe regress and go backwards. But they just – I think they're going to float. I think they're well coached. They're just – they're not awful. They're not very good. They're really in between. They need to pick a direction. For the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, I think their biggest statement to date can come this week. I know you're in.
I'm in.
I'm not sure I'm all the way in yet, but I have been impressed.
You got your toes in the water, though?
Yeah, dipping them in. Okay. Just a little bit. They host Seattle this week. And if they win that game, they would truly get some separation on the division. They'd beat a team that they've actually had success against before with Seattle. And then you get to 4-1. I think that would really be their biggest statement they can make, would be a win this week. That also is at home. I want to see where the attendance is this week for the L.A. Rams.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Can we set an over-under every week on attendance at StubHub?
For the Chargers and for the Rams, we should both.
Yeah, for both of them.
Seattle,
for LA in general,
LA football.
Who's gonna draw by week 10? Who draws more, the Lakers or those two football teams?
Lakers. Yeah, probably Lakers.
If it's not, it's pretty damn close.
Yeah. For Seattle, playing good teams on the road and lost bad teams at home and won. So what team are they really? They've done what they needed to at home, beating the Colts, beating the 49ers. They've lost their two road games to decent teams, which is Tennessee. They lost that one, and they lost to Green Bay. So this week follows that same order. They're playing a good team, we think, the Rams, on the road. They've got to try to change that. They also, who's going to run the ball? They've had some injuries in the backfield, and so the question there for Seattle is who will carry the rock. And the last one, the 49ers, this may be their best chance for a win in a while. They take on the Colts. This team is not finely tuned. They are beatable. Niners need to put it together. They've had weeks where the defense has been good, offense hasn't. The one week where their offense was really good, defense didn't hold the Rams down. They need to put it all together, and this could be the week they get a win against the Colts.
It's their best chance for a win since they played a winless Arizona Cardinals team on Sunday. I'm beginning to think they might not win.
Yeah.
They're going to fall into a win. But I thought the same thing about the Colts.
Yeah.
So who knows? Hey, let's get to we'll have one small thought on the NFC East here in just a heartbeat. Alex, what's happening, man?
What's up, gentlemen?
What do you got for us?
Hey, man, I, about Adrian and the Packers, you know, go Pack, go. But I think he visited the Vikings again, and then he went to New Orleans, and he never left. So I don't think he visited us. Good thing that the Saints didn't let him walk out that door without signing his name. But I thought it would have been a good pickup for us. I don't think we would have let him out the door either. But also, what can we offer the Saints? You know, what maybe a couple of drafts. But, you know, Ted, he likes his draft picks.
Alex, I mean, Adrian Peterson at this point, you could probably get for a late round draft pick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's not Adrian Peterson, you know, 2,000 yards. It's not Adrian Peterson MVP. It's Adrian Peterson who can't seem to get much going there in New Orleans. I honestly think we're talking a sixth or seventh round pick.
Hopefully, because we have a couple of them that we can get rid of. I think we have 2 sixths and 2 sevens this year. And hopefully, man, all we need is 85 yards a game, at least. Let the defense have to be honest and let Aaron Rodgers do what Aaron Rodgers does. And I think we'll be fine. Hopefully we can do that. Hopefully Ted's giving them a call right now because we can use them come Sunday against Dallas.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. We appreciate you, Alex. Thank you, my brother.
Yep, have a good one, gentlemen.
All right, one small thought. We got Levi Damian joining us in about 7 minutes here. One small thought on the NFC East. We'll start with the team that played last night. The Washington, you guys are really confusing. That's what I wrote down. My one small thought on Washington is you guys are really confusing. You're good. Your numbers show you're good. Your offense shows you're good. Your defense shows you're not that bad. But you guys make a lot of strange mistakes. And that, obviously, can cost you ball games. Like, they've lost two games on just strange things happen. They've had leads that they let go. Poorly timed penalties. I think Washington is good, and I think we're going to be talking about them along with the Philadelphia Eagles. My one small thought on the Philadelphia Eagles, they're good and they're going to get better. Here's why, Jason. They're 3-1 now. Carson Wentz has been great. His veteran wide receivers and Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith, they haven't been great. If they get into a flow this season, they're going to be the most complete team in the division. One small thought on the Giants. I think this might be Ben McAdoo's fault. They couldn't score over 20 points for, what was it, like 8 straight games?
Yeah.
Eli hasn't been playing bad. Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't been great, but he's not the reason they're losing. Their special teams are awful. They have a 1% chance of making the playoffs. Mm. We mentioned the one team that started 0-4 and has made the playoffs was the 92 Chargers. Ben McAdoo, I know you were 11-5 last year, man, but what have you done for me lately? As the woman who's performing at the Golden One Center tonight would say. The Dallas Cowboys, one small thought. Put your secondary in a position to succeed. We talked a lot about that yesterday. They have really good pieces defensively. You have the edge rusher in DeMarcus Lawrence. You have the cornerback, Anthony Brown. He's in full shutdown mode. When Sean Lee is MIA, they can't guard the run or the pass. They have to figure out a way to allow that young secondary to succeed and succeed early and allow those guys to build confidence. Levi Damian will discuss the Derek Carr injury and what the Raiders are going to do moving forward next here on Sports 1140. A little inside the lowdown note. We'll have tickets to see Luke Bryan coming up in the 2 o'clock hour, by the way, because the lowdown is your home for country music concerts. Nothing makes me more nervous than when you and I are talking and I look up and Chris is laughing and writing something down.
Yeah, it's trouble.
I know something has gone terribly wrong.
Or right for him.
For him, yes. Which is amazing because there are times that you and I can talk directly to Chris. Like, hey, Chris, can you do the – and nothing. But God forbid, so I can only imagine what was said that Chris took note of and felt that he had to actually write something down.
We'll hear it later.
I'm sure we will. I'm quite certain we will. Happy to bring in our Raider insider, the lead writer and editor-in-chief for Silver and Black Pride, Levi Damian. Levi, come on, help us out, man. Like, console us. Open your arms. Keep us warm. Is it doom and gloom for the Oakland Raiders?
I've been getting a lot of that. Console me. Make me feel better. Give me reason for hope.
Please.
That's the thing. Well, I mean, I guess the only thing I can tell you is that if it gives you any hope is that it seems to have kind of flipped what we saw last year. We had the Raiders had the 26th ranked defense and the 6th ranked offense. Now it seems to have flipped on its head. Now their defense is playing quite well. The secondary is very important that they've stepped up. I think that's the Pagano effect. And now it's just a matter of if you look at what the team did last year and even over the first couple of games this season, you've seen that they're capable of doing good things on offense. So now they've shown that they're capable of doing something on defense. They just need to do them at the same time.
Yeah, and as far as why the doom and gloom is the struggles offensively for 2 weeks and then the injury to Carr, do you have any – I mean, the 2 to 6 weeks is a pretty broad range there. What you feel like he'll come back sooner than that, later than that? How nervous should Raider fans be about at least his injury?
Well, I don't know if they need to be too nervous about it necessarily. I mean, I wouldn't think he'd be out the full 6 weeks. And also consider that sixth week is a bye week, and they have a homestand coming up. So it's actually not a how they considered it. It's not the worst time to be without him. They have a couple of going against the Ravens and Chargers is kind of a bit of a break from what they've faced the last couple of weeks. And then then you play it by ear. It kind of sucks that they have to face the Chiefs in that time frame, which I have my doubts that he'd be able to come back. They say 2 weeks minimum. It would be a great thing if he get back by the Chiefs. I'm sure that's what they're hoping for, because that's the big one. Derek Carr has to get that monkey off his back facing the Chiefs. That's what I would say. I figure that getting him back by the bye week so that he'd be ready for Mexico City afterward is probably probably a good target.
Our Raider insider Levi Damian with us here on the Lowdown. What about the offensive line? Because whoever's going to play in that quarterback position, whether it's for 2 weeks, 6 weeks, or whether it's when Derek Carr gets back, he hasn't been well protected. The run game hasn't gotten off the ground, for lack of a better term. What's going on with that offensive line, Levi?
I think the offensive line, for the most part, I would say isn't too much trouble. I'd say a lot of it's scheming. I think they're not really planning well for what they're facing. I'm looking at some of the plays again, and they're running into stacked boxes and things like that, and they're just not keeping the defense on their toes. They're not mixing things up. They're just too predictable. The offensive line, I would say, the only guy who's really disappointing me so far this season is Gabe Jackson. He's not performing like the Mahler that we were used to seeing in his first few years. Just not. If you remember correctly, before they brought in Osemele, Gabe Jackson was the guy. He was the guy they always ran behind. You knew that they were going to run the ball behind him, and they were going to pick up the yards they needed. And now he's just kind of vacant in the run blocking arena. And they're trying to get the yards behind it, Osemele and Hudson and whatnot. I wouldn't put it all on the offensive line. I've also noticed that a lot of times when there are missed blocks, it's the tight ends. I mean, Clive Walford had a couple of really, really bad missed blocks. He's just not a great blocker, or he hasn't shown it. And so it's an overall thing. There's a lot of factors involved.
I know when we talked to you and visited with you at camp in Napa, you were praising E.J. Manuel at the time, clearly separated himself and was the number two quarterback. Now it's his job for the time being. He gave us a decent sample in Denver. I thought there were some moments and a catch here or there from Cook, and maybe it's a nice come-from-behind win. But going forward with E.J. Emanuel, do they change things at all offensively around him, or is it still going to kind of look the same?
Well, I don't know. He and Downing have history together. They know each other from Buffalo, so it's possible they dig down and they try to find some things to play on his strengths. And if they do, maybe they'll change some things up. And at least for a short period of time, they could do some things that the defense wasn't expecting because they had no tape on it. So that's kind of a hidden potential, silver lining to this is that is putting in the backup this like this. The defense isn't able to game plan as easily for what they're going to expect, because even though they were together before and where they have tape from Manuel when he was in Buffalo, Downing was the quarterback coach. He wasn't the offensive coordinator there. So whatever they do with him is going to be something that the defense is not used to seeing. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they're able to figure out. They're able to rekindle some surprises that they were able to, they were able to surprise the Titans in the opening game. That's their big win. They scored a lot of points against the Jets, but it's the Jets. That's why you can really hope for it at this point.
Levi, is there a reason to panic if you're a Raider fan?
Oh man, it's there's a little bit. I mean, I can't really blame people for panicking at this point, just because it's such. Even though Jack Del Rio says he's not, that nothing surprises him, that he's seen the ball bounce this way, so to speak, it's still. I can't imagine he's not, that there isn't some shock involved here, because until we see, like, it's always that. What have you done for me lately? And what they've done for you lately is pretty much nothing. And until that we see some signs that they're able to rekindle what they had before and get back to what they were when Musgrave was in there as the offensive coordinator, there's definitely I can't blame anybody for panicking some. It might be, you know, if you really want to get right down to it, you might want to wait some more time to see if it continues. But you can't just expect, hey, they did it before, they're going to do it again. You can't just expect that to happen. Nobody expected them to just fall on their face the way that they are, or the way that they are. And until they stop doing it, you know, you have every reason to be panicky.
Stop falling on your face, Raiders, okay? Stop. Enough.
Levi, how would you explain the drops from Amari Cooper, not just this year, but in the brief career he's had?
You know, the only thing that I can come up with, and there's obviously the psychological aspect of it. He worked really hard to try to become a more aggressive player this year. And I might have mentioned it before that I had faith that he was going to be able to do it, simply because in the history with him is he's always been that type of player that when he puts his mind to improving a certain aspect of his game, he's able to do it. You know, you look back to early last season when he was getting some criticism for not being able to keep his feet in bounds, tap his toes or drag his feet or whatever they wanted him to do. So in a matter of a couple of weeks, he was able to fix that issue, which I thought was extraordinary. So you figure if he has an entire offseason where he's getting criticism, especially from yours truly, about his lack of aggression and ability to fight for the ball, you expect him to be able to do that. And so he hasn't shown that. That has to be frustrating. And then you also, I think the hidden thing here is the injury that seems to be kind of hanging around. If you remember correctly, as a rookie, when he was second in the league in drops, he had most of those drops late in the season when he was having issues with an ankle injury. So it's unfortunate because you expect, getting back to the aggression issue, you expect, you know, you got to be tougher than that. You got to be able to fight through injuries. You look at a guy like Seth Roberts, who had double hernias all last season, and he still went out there and performed actually pretty well.
Apparently he didn't want to talk about the Raiders anymore.
He dropped the phone.
He said, "The hell with you guys!
Like,
you talk about all this pain." He did. He went full Amari Cooper. We were Chris. You can just tell him thanks. We'll plug the website and all that stuff. The one question I did want to ask him was if the Raiders had any conversations about bringing in other quarterbacks. I don't think that they did.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like anytime a quarterback goes down, a writer such as Levi has to write the. And he even acknowledges it's time to ask the obligatory question regarding Colin Kaepernick, and that's going to happen. Tennessee writers did the same thing. I would probably check Kyle's feed to see if he wrote one when Marcus Mariota went out. I assume that they haven't, but it's still curiosity as to where they are. But it feels like EJ is their guy. Obviously, Connor Cook is still there. I wonder how long the leash is for EJ Manuel. You know, I wonder how long the leash is for any backup quarterback that comes back when you're not fully invested in them. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have to bring in somebody else? Do you go to your third string? Do you know, especially when your second string had to beat out your third string and you originally thought he was the third string? It's just such a convoluted position, and I hate that we're having this conversation about the Oakland Raiders. But Levi Damon is the lead writer and editor-in-chief for Silver and Black Pride, so make sure you go check out all of his writings. If you want to jump in here on the phone lines, we'd love to have you, 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jay Ross and I had mentioned the NBA All-Star Game is undergoing some changes. How excited are you? We'll explain what those changes are, and you can let us know if you're excited next on The Lowdown. You know, I think we did – I know we talked about it before the show. I don't know if we mentioned there in the open we were talking about the Kings beating the Spurs. Really, the best part of the game was the dance cam the Rhythm Nation dance camp.
Fantastic.
That was looking for dancers all across the Golden One Center.
Uh-huh.
And stumbled. They were playing Janet Jackson Rhythm Nation, and apparently they stumbled across. I don't know that they knew this at the time. I'm sure the camera had to figure it out that it was this well choreographed dance routine, but they stumbled across Janet Jackson's dancers. That was fantastic.
It was great. I'm like, wow, these. I was telling you, I was like, wait, is this Dance Mom? I want in. Like, what? Yeah. What's where? Hey, where's the routine?
But they all knew the moves.
There was like five of them, and they were great, and they were all in sync. And you went, okay, I've seen people dance at the game. Some people are better than others. That's natural. And then
they look like professionals.
Like, they're really good at this. How do they all? Where do they go? How do they do this? But yeah, that was fun. That was a good bit.
And of course, I checked Twitter this morning, and there's Bobby Gerald right in the mix of things, sitting next to them, mm-hmm. Filming the whole thing.
Oh yeah,
sitting next to the Janet Jackson's dancers. Who is at the Golden One Center tonight. And we've got tickets to see Luke Bryan. That's got nothing to do with Janet Jackson, but it's a concert, and we'll have those for you in the 2 o'clock hour, 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hey, Dennis, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm a diehard Raider fan. Watch every game multiple times, unfortunately, but I've been so frustrated over the last couple of weeks. What I think everybody is ignoring is the teams we're playing. Number one, I'm going to say the one thing I don't have an answer for is the offensive line struggles. They were by far, to me, the most dominant offensive line other than Dallas. And this year they're getting pushed around. I don't have an answer for that. But number one, I think, obviously, like the gentleman you were just talking to, Todd Downey has got to find his way. Todd Downey was not our O coordinator. Musgrave had a ton of experience. And Downey is new to this and trying to learn his way. But understand that when the Raiders went to Washington, they ran into a buzzsaw on Sunday night at their house. Josh Norman had them all kind of wired up because I guess what Crabtree said. And then you go to Denver and the no-fly zone with Von Miller in Denver. Remember what they did to the Dallas Cowboys. They annihilated them. I think Zeke had 9 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you talked to us 2 weeks ago, Derek Carr was an MVP candidate, not being sacked, 5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and then you go play two of the better defenses. As you can see, the Redskins were toe-to-toe with the Chiefs, who, in my opinion, are the best team in football in Kansas City. They didn't lose Josh Norman late in that game. There's a possibility they win that game in Kansas City. The Washington Redskins are no joke. Another thing that kind of frustrates me is it's week four. Let me remind you of the 5-0 Minnesota Vikings last year that were going to the Super Bowl that ended up 8-8. It is not time to panic, number one. What happened is the Raiders' offense ran into two buzzsaws. Denver always does that to the Raider offense, just like Kansas City does. I didn't expect Washington to dominate us like that. But, again, we got hit with a buzzsaw that was hyped for us on Sunday night. I think everybody's ignoring that. Like, you just ran into two of the really better defenses in football, and you played them both on their turf. The Raider offense is going to be fine. Like I said, the offensive line, I am a little bit concerned about. 7 sacks in, the last 2 games. I think we gave up 8 of all last year.
Yeah.
But I think I agree with the gentleman you were just talking to from the Silver and Black. A lot of it, I think, is Todd Downey learning his way. And yes, on 4th and 1, when you see that Denver has 8 men in the box, I don't care if you have Marshawn Lynch. When 5, 6 guys are blocking 8 guys, it's just not going to work. So I think, number one, I do not think it's time to panic in the least bit. It is week 4, right? That's like, the Warriors losing their first 5 games and people starting to panic over the Warriors. It's not time to panic. The Derek Carr injury couldn't be, any worse, right? I mean, my God, last year, on our way to the playoffs, he breaks his leg. This year, playing pretty well, and then all of a sudden, he gets hurt, and then, everything's kind of going downhill. So I will admit that, that's really bad timing, but I think people need to really, really let off the gas pedal. There's not time to panic. We have a long way to go. Everybody knew this was going to be a dogfight. The Chiefs and Broncos are two of the better teams in football.
I got a what if for you, Dennis.
Sure.
What if you lose to the Ravens?
It's week 5, my friend. And again, Minnesota was 5-0 last year.
Dennis, the Ravens stink, man.
But here's the thing. If we lost to the Ravens with Derek Carr,
okay,
I would be upset. You're talking about, man, I have to play E.J. Manuel. And like I always tell everybody, right, as soon as you go to your backup quarterback, unless you happen to be lucky enough to, have Tom Brady sitting behind Drew Brees, you're pretty out of it, right? I mean, there are very few backup quarterbacks that come in and you're like, all right, our starter went down. Now we, right? I mean, so I get what you're saying, man. I would love to try to beat the Ravens, and I think it's going to be difficult to beat the Chargers because the Chargers give the Raiders fits even when Derek's playing. And then from there on out, Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Patriots. I mean, we have to have Derek, and they have to be playing well. But I just think, right, it's always overreaction Mondays and Tuesdays and stuff. We are at game four.
All right, Dennis.
You know what I mean, all right, fellas.
We appreciate you, my man. Thanks, hey, call more often, Dennis. That's good stuff right there. That's great to have our Raiders insider.
Yes.
Dennis there, along with Levi Damian, who we just had. Winners and losers. You want to do that?
Absolutely.
That's always a positive segment. That sounds so mean. Winners and losers. But I guess it's okay because I'm normally one of the biggest losers of week one, two, three. I don't know that I was a big loser this week.
You did all right.
I think I did okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure many people listening would beg to differ, but we'll do that coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll take a look ahead to week five. There's playoffs tonight. Playoffs.
Playoffs.
Major League Baseball playoffs tonight. And of course, we will end on a happy note. That is all coming up in the third and final hour of the Lowdown.